Proverbs 24. I said it'd be short tonight. Looking at verses 19 through 26. This will be our third look. And we've been dealing with 9 verses each time. This time we're not. This time we're only going to deal with 8. And then that'll leave us 8 as we complete the chapter, Lord willing. But verse number 19, we'll read it responsibly together. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall be upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Amen. We'll stop reading there with verse 26. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Vincent, could you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you for that prayer. I got it now. Amen. I didn't realize it until I started to pray. Amen. All right. These verses here before, as a matter of fact, fit just what I was talking about some of these things. And many of these are repetitious, repeating what we've covered already. Matter of fact, this very first one. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. That is repeated. Matter of fact, in this very same chapter, look back at verse number 1. Proverbs 24, verse number 1. The Bible says, be not thou envious against the evil man, neither desire to be with them. I dealt with that pretty extensively. Don't hang out with that crowd. Don't long to fit in with that crowd. All right? But he's talking about not being envious of them. Look back at the chapter before that, chapter 23 and verse number 17. He says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And I really centered in on that word let not. If we're not careful, that's the way our heart will just automatically go. We'll see. It looks like they've got the applause. They've got the friends. They've got they've got everything going their way. If we're not careful, we'll let our heart be envious of them. And we've got to be careful that we don't. So it seems to me, now we're looking at that again here now in verse number 19. He says, fret not thyself because of wicked men. Now the word fret means fear, but not just fear. Don't worry about them. Don't let that take up a lot of space in your mind about them. And God's reminding us not to be too worried about the evil man because God's got it all in control. Amen. Evil men may look like they're flourishing, but it's not going to last forever. I mentioned in the prayer room, I'm still reading that book on Hitler. Probably finished it this week. I'm almost done. He's at the point of death. If you know anything about it, he died by his own hand. But he's at the point that they're surrounding his bunker, and he knew that he was going to commit suicide. He'd talked about that, by the way, since he was 19 years old, and knew that that's how he's going to go out. But in reading that book, thinking about Hitler, I'm telling you, when he is killing millions of people, it looked like he was going to do what he said he was going to do. He had the German people believing that he was able to conquer the world. And he believed it. He really believed it. But I'm telling you, wicked men, they may do pretty good for a while, but God's going to bring them down somewhere down the line. God's going to bring them down. That's what he's talking about here. So he's reminding us. He don't just remind us once, but he reminds us again and again. He reminds us not to be too much worried or too much concerned about wicked people, and certainly not to be envious of the wicked there. So he's talking about evil men and then wicked men. Those are the same, I believe, that he's talking about. But far too often, when we see men as they seem to prosper, by the way, the devil's good at pointing that out. Amen. People's good at pointing that out. I mean, it's amazing how they can tag you on their Facebook about what a good time they're having in sin. How they're enjoying theirself like they never have. They have finally found life worth living in this wicked way of living. Instead of all this bondage of rules and regulations. Yeah. God tells us not to be looking too much at how they're doing right now, but to look to their reward. Notice that. Look at verse number 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked. Verse 20, for there shall be no reward for the wicked men. There's no mansion on the hilltop for them. Right. Amen. Amen. Look at what they're missing. So what if they get a mansion down here for 70 years? What about eternity? Right. So what if they're enjoying extravagance and they're enjoying elegance down here for 70, even 100 years. But they're going to suffer in the torments of hell for eternity. He's telling us to keep our eye on the reward that our Father has prepared, the reward that is eternal, the reward that is enduring. Because the wealth of this world is going to vanish in a puff of smoke one day. Amen. Really it is. Judgment day is coming. And it's going to burn. This world's going to burn. Matter of fact, he says that. I think that's what he alludes to. The last phrase of verse 20. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. He's going to put the candle of the wicked out. God, who's going to do that? God's going to do that. Amen. God's going to put them out. Just like snuffing out a candle. Their life's going to end in a puff of smoke. Their life's going to end, and they might have been shining, amen. They might have been, looking like that things are going good, but he's going to snuff them out. That's a trail of smoke and a smell of sulfur when you snuff out the candle. And I believe that's where they're headed. They're headed to hell. Amen. They've been living their whole life in darkness. Even while the light's been shining to them, they've been living their life in darkness, and it looks like their candle's been burning, but he said it's going to be snuffed out one day. Now here's what he's telling us. He's not telling us that to boast towards the wicked, but he's telling us that to pity the wicked. Amen. To pity the wicked. When we look at them, and you've heard, you remember, some of you do, some of you old enough. I heard somebody on the radio mention this the other day in the preacher's hour. But, Ted Turner, at one time owned a lot of television stations. I think he owned the Atlanta Braves, the losingest team in American history. And he made this statement. He was a man of wealth. Wasn't Ted Turner married to Jane Fonda at one time? Poor fella. Anyway, that's enough to pity the man. Amen. But he had all this going for him as far as the world's concerned. This is what he said. He said, Christianity is a crutch for cripples. That's what he said. Christianity is a crutch for cripples. Well, I'm sorry for him. And that's what we ought to be. We ought to be sorry for him. All of his money, all of his education, all of his ability. And he's that ignorant, I guess is the right way to say it. And he's going to end his life in sorrow. Right. God's going to snuff out the candle. You know what happens when the light goes out? You're in darkness. Darkness, eternal darkness. They've rejected the light of God, and God's not going to give them any light in eternal darkness. That's a fearful thought, and it should be. And he said, we need to think down that line. Amen. Don't let the supposed prosperity of the wicked trouble you, but focus on the dangerous future that's before them. The fact that they're going to face the judgment one day. They've chosen a dangerous path. They're trodden that dangerous path. And that ought to allow our heart to be filled with sorrow for them and pity for them and sadness for them rather than envy or worry over them. I say again, wicked people deserve our pity rather than our envy. Amen. I put this note here about this verse. One of the dangers of envy, when we let envy get in us, is that we ignore our own blessings and we feel sorry for ourselves. While we magnify what looks like the blessings of others that have more than we do. Right. We belittle what we have as far as in our own mind and we feel sorry for ourselves. But we magnify what they have as if they've got more than we do. It would help us to look around and recognize how blessed we are. Amen. Stop looking at others. Amen. Quit looking at all them. Look at what God's done for us. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how to do. Here's how our Lord taught us to do. Look up. Start praying to God and asking Him for daily bread. Asking Him for help day by day. Giving Him thanks for the blessings we have. Amen. And that'll help us from having a bad spirit. A bad spirit of envy. A bad spirit of fretfulness. Amen. Look at verses 21 and 22. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. Meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Now, he's just warned us not to fret over evil men, but Solomon now is going to tell us who we should fear. Don't fear the wicked man, but here's who we should fear. We should fear the Lord and the king. Amen. This fear that he's talking about here is not the fear of frightfulness or terror. It's rather reverence and respect. Respect the king and respect those in authority. That's what he's talking about. Respect God, reverence God, and reverence those that are in authority. I know we don't have a king in our land. I understand that. But what he's talking about here is that we need to reverence our God and respect our God. When young boys first start out disrespecting police officers, dads ought to put a stop to that. Amen. Those men are in authority. They're not perfect. I understand they're not perfect. They don't do everything right. I understand they don't do everything right. But they represent the authority of the land. Amen. Same thing with soldiers, by the way. Amen. I know the Vietnam era, those soldiers got disrespected by the hippies. My goodness. And they got disrespected, and we grew a whole generation of people that way. That needs to be put to stop. Amen. Need to learn to reverence and respect those in authority. In the school, I remember in the school, my parents taught me, don't you talk back to the teacher. They're the authority. And if they have to whip you, when you get home, you're going to get another whooping. Right? They need to be taught to respect that. I realize we don't have kids in public school a lot. Most of ours are homeschooled, and I encourage that. But by the way, if there's anybody they ought to respect, it ought to be mom. And that ought to be expected of them. Amen. Demanded of them. Required of them. Amen. So he says, here's who you ought to fear. He's telling his son now, my son. My son. Dads need to instruct their sons. Moms need to instruct their daughters. Here's who you ought to fear. Fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, this is another commandment that needs repeating. He's said it before, but you know that we're living in a day when authorities are evil spoken of. I touched on that. The book of Jude says that's how it's going to be in the last days. Those evil spirits are going to cause men to speak evil of dignities. Peter said the same thing. In the last days, they're going to be railing on authority. That's what he said. And boy, we're there, ain't we? We're there. It seems to me like that if the Republicans are in authority, that the news media is against them. If the Democrats are in authority, the news media is against them. That's right. They're against whoever's in authority. Here's what I believe. I believe it's just like what they said about the communists. It came to be true that the communists in these colleges, it's not that they hate the rich man and love the poor man. He couldn't care less about the poor man. They just love to hate somebody. I think that's right. And that's the world we're living in today, by the way, too. So it needs to be repeated. Authorities are evil spoken of. As a matter of fact, even Christians have fallen into that category. If we're not careful, we will. I have. Right? We just rail on some of our leaders. But as I said, Peter and Jude both talked about those that speak evil of dignities. Filthy dreamers, he said, that's what they are. They defile the flesh and they walk after their own flesh and the lust of covetousness and uncleanness. Listen to this. Sensual people, people that live for their self, senses, for what they can see, feel, touch, taste, all that. People that live just in this sensual world are prone to despise authority. Yep. We should guard our heart to to keep this from coming into our heart. That's one of the lessons we need to learn as Christians. Amen. Guard our heart to keep it. Keep it from invading our thoughts. Keep it from invading our attitudes and becoming our heart inclined to go that route. Now notice that this proverb links a proper fear of the Lord to also generating a proper fear for men in authority. Or maybe I should say human authorities. Amen. Yeah. It looked to me like that Peter and Jude linked hatred for that human authority was linked to their hatred for God. And I think that's where we're at. Amen. That's where we're at today. I have found it, and you probably have too, it's often true that those who hold little esteem for those authorities in the land also hold little esteem for God. If they don't have any respect for the authority in the church, little respect for the authority in the government, little respect for authority in the home, they hold little esteem for God Himself. That's right. And He linked those together in that. Amen. The opposite's true too. The other side of that coin's true. Those that have respect for God seem to have more respect for the authorities in the land. Amen. Now I want to remind you, Solomon wrote this while Solomon is king. Solomon wrote this and telling his son, you can fear the king. And Solomon had a fear for God. I realize Solomon wasn't perfect. I'm not whitewashing what Solomon did wrong, but he said he did some things right too. Right. But when Paul wrote the book of Romans and Paul talked about how that we're to be under the authority of the government, that we're to give honor to where honor, Jesus said that, pay tribute to whom tribute is due and honor to whom honor is due. And then Paul carried that over in the book of Romans when they were saying that it wasn't a godly king on the throne. It was a wicked king killing Christians. And yet they still said, you better be careful how you disrespect authority in the land. Amen. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21, the last phrase of that said, then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. You know what he linked? He said, if you don't honor Caesar, you won't honor God. That's what he's saying. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17, Peter said this, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, it's in that order. When you honor God, you'll honor the king. You'll honor those in authority. Amen. Now notice the phrase here, not to meddle with those that are given to change. Meddle not, in verse 21, meddle not with them that are given to change. Wasn't all that long ago, Barack Obama, that was his big theme. Change, change. We're going to change everything. And they did, by the way. America has changed drastically, especially in this second administration, the O'Biden administration, has changed, following the same path of change, change, change. But he notices this, he says here, I want you to notice this, meddle not with them that are given to change. It doesn't indicate that things do sometimes need to change. It's not saying that there should never be any change. One of the problems, I'm conservative. I am, I'm conservative. I'm conservative politics. I'm conservative with other things. I never want to throw, when I get the last of the peanut butter out, I don't want to throw that jar away. Man, it's a good jar. It'll be used for something. And I want to keep it. But sometimes you got to throw some things away. Y'all are looking at me like y'all don't know nothing about none of that. Right? Nobody in here is a hoarder, right? No. I'm at way, if I'm pickle jar, I'm at way with anything. Ain't them, listen. Well, most near anything. I don't like to throw it away. That's conservative. But listen, that's why I need an opposing wife every now and then says, take that trash out. She don't say it like that. I'm just picking. But seriously, this thing, it doesn't mean that change never needs to happen. But what he is saying here, he's talking about that we don't need to get to be that crowd that is never satisfied, that always wants change, that never wants the status quo. No matter how things are going, they want it different. It'd be better if it's just different. I don't like this being on level ground. We need to be going uphill. I don't like this going uphill. We need to be going downhill. I don't like this going downhill. We need to be on level ground. It's too hot. It's too cold. That's America, ain't it? Amen. But what he's saying here, we've got to be careful. These people that are never satisfied, no matter how things are going. They're rebellious people. Continually discontented. Unsettled. Factious. Turbulent in spirit. They won't change for the sake of change. Now, I said not, it doesn't mean that things do not sometimes need to change, but I also want to say this. All change is not improvement. Some change may be for the worse. Right. You remember when they changed the Coke? Got the new Coke. That wasn't an improvement. Almost nobody liked it. Right. It made the change. And that's just something we can think about. And some of you don't remember that. That happened before you was ever born. But I remember it well. Amen. I was probably 50 years old. Anyway, no. Some change can be for the worse. To be given to change is to be weary with the old. To be captivated with the new. That's where we're at, by the way. Here, listen, and I'm going to digress just a minute, and I'm going to deal with something that I believe is obvious in the world we're living in. We have taught in schools, they have taught evolution so long to children that change is always for the better. It's survival of the fittest. So change has to take place, and what was past is always bad. Therefore, don't study history, because history's bad. We're better than they were. Friend, I'm telling you, we're not better than people in the past were. We might know more about how to run a computer, but we sure don't know much about just logical stuff that they knew. Amen. I'm talking about how to get up in the morning and go to work and work hard through the day and not complain about it. They knew how to do that. Amen. So I just say we've ingrained it in our children's mind, and we've raised a couple of generations on that now. That change is always good, and it's not always good. Some people, this crowd here that he's talking about, I believe it's given to change. They always seek for a change in the authority. They don't like the authority. He's dealing with that. Honor the king. Honor the Lord and the king. They don't like the authority, so they always want change in authority. We've got a group of people in America that would love to overthrow the government of America and overthrow our Constitution. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. We'd have chaos in America. They talk about we need to go back and have another revolution. We don't have patriots like we had in the Revolutionary War. We don't have men of stature. I'm talking about men of mind and ability and honor and character. We don't have a lot of men like that that would lead our nation in this day like we had 250 years ago. It'd be chaos. And there are some, they'd be happy with that. For a little while. For a little while. But here's the idea it gets. Some people are not satisfied with authority unless they could get to be the authority. That's the change they want, really. They want themselves to be vested with authority. Amen. These people are set on change. Amen. They long for change. They're given to change. Their heart is on change. They just want change for the sake of change. You know what they are? They're agitators. They're troublemakers. And Solomon's telling his son, you stay clear of them. Some of us remember our mom and our grandma probably told us, you need to stay away from them boys. They're troublemakers. Maybe they wouldn't say troublemakers. They'd just say they're trouble. Girls, they may have told you girls, stay away from them girls. Them girls are trouble. That's what Solomon's saying to his son here. He said, don't be given to them that are given to change. Don't meddle with, don't hang around them. Now verse number 22 says, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. He's talking about the suddenness of their calamity. The sureness of their calamity. The certainty of their destruction. It seems like that he's saying here, those who rise up as leaders of the mobs, they're set on change and they're leading that. But when they become the leader, their followers are the ones that are given to change. then after a while they're dissatisfied with them, and they both come to a bad end here. He says that both. Look at it in verse number 23. Who knoweth the ruin of them both? Both the leader and the ones that are following come to destruction. One of the things that I read in that book on Hitler was they pleaded with Hitler to surrender, to talk terms of surrender, and Hitler was intent on never giving up one inch of ground. And I've said to Josh, when in early part, when America got involved in the war, and Hitler started seeing that things were not going his direction. Up until then, it looked like he was just win. But when some of his generals would send their subordinates in to ask him to at least let us leave off of attacking this one particular city so we can attack another place, Hitler would say no. And this is what he'd say. He said, you fight to the last man. And you know what he'd do? The courier that came to ask for permission to surrender a little ground or to back up a little bit, he would hand that courier a pistol. And he'd say, you give this to the general. And you tell that general, fight to the end. And when he's the last man, kill himself. When the Allies were coming in, Patton had come across the Rhine River and done the things that he did there, and Patton was, and the British were in there, and the Russians were in there, and he was holed up in his bunker, and one of his men talked about, by the way, they were destroying the businesses, they were destroying the plants, and they were asking, they said, we need to save some of this that the people can survive. Hitler said that people don't deserve to survive if they lose this war. He wasn't concerned even about his own followers. That's what he's about. These people that are given to change, listen to me. This crowd that's saying, oh, we need to give the Muslims everything they want, they'll be the first ones the Muslims behead when they get in authority. Right. This crowd that's running along, this liberal crowd that's saying, we need to give in to all these, they don't realize how foolish they are. These people that are given to change won't be satisfied when they get the change. And they'll destroy themselves and their followers along with them. The both come to calamity. Amen. Who knoweth the ruin of them both? Now it looks to me like these next four verses all go together. And they're directed especially to the wise. Now he's been talking to his son about being careful. Look at these verses 23 through 24 and I'll finish with these. Verse 23 through 24, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. It's talking about the ability to make proper judgments because of wisdom. Friend, we're living in a day when people can't make proper judgments anymore. They're afraid to call a spade a spade. They're afraid to say what's obvious. I mean, it's been that way a long time. When Stalin took over Russia, it was the same way. When Hitler took over Germany, it was the same way. It's the same way today. By the way, Hitler and Stalin, this crowd trying to take over at this one world government that they're trying to push in is the same mentality. You know what they're doing? They're killing people. Hitler killed millions. Stalin killed millions. Right. I was telling the men in prayer meeting today a thought. I'd never thought about it this way. When China became communist, they had the one child rule. You can only have one child and you got to abort. And it's mandatory aborting any other children. Mandatory. We won't do that in America. You know what we've done in America? We've told women, it's your right to kill your baby. It is your right, and you have an obligation to do so if you're going to be a good feminist. Yeah. And we've told men, it's your right to marry a man that can't produce children. You know what we're doing? We're killing the next generation. Same way China's doing it, just on the other side of the coin. We're not demanding that you do it. I say we not, the world's not. They're not demanding that you do it. They're saying you've got the right. You've got the right to do that. And they're applauding them that do it. When these men go and have these surgeries to start looking like a woman, they've already been acting like a woman. Right? and they start getting these surgeries and start looking like a woman, you know what they're doing? They'll never produce children. They're killing the next generation. And then they're telling these kids, this is what you want. This is how to live. This is the way to live. This is life. You know what they're doing? They're doing the devil's work. Doing the devil's work. Destroying the next generation. Amen. But here he's talking about those that make proper judgment. People can't do that. It speaks on basing our judgments on wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Not the respect of persons. You see that in verse number 23. To these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to give respect of persons in judgment. You don't just do it based on the circumstances. You do it based on what the scripture says. It's not a respect of persons. Amen. Listen. I don't hate people. As far as I know, I don't have hatred in my heart for people. But when somebody sins, it don't matter if it's my child, it's wrong. And I can't applaud it and approve of it and condone it. Right? I got to condemn it. I got to say, no, that's not right. You're headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Amen. Some people are living a make-believe life. Really. Make believe. I just want them to be happy. I just want them to be happy. That's make believe, friend. They won't be happy. Not living in sin, they won't be happy. Anyway, I'd get off on that. He's talking about respect of persons. This is a peculiar problem that is prevalent today. The inability to make wise judgments. Amen. He talks about calling the wicked good. Let's see verse number 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous. You know, who's that? That's that pride crowd. They're out there in their pride and you're saying, look at them. Look at them Christian sodomites. That's like saying, look at that honest bank robber. Yeah. Look at that virtuous harlot. The words don't go together. They're oxymorons. And somebody's a moron. And amen, that repeats that stuff and believes that stuff. Amen. But he's saying here, this crowd that's saying to the wicked sodomites, you're all right. And other perverts, you're all right. Everything's fine. God made you that way. And it's okay. It's not only okay, it is righteous. It's a gift of God. That's an abomination to the Lord. Amen. Our proverb tells us that these fools will one day be cursed and abhorred by nations of people. Right? He says in verse number 24, the people's going to curse them. He says the nation shall abhor them. People are even going to be dissatisfied with them. In Canaan, when there were sodomites in Canaan before the children of Israel went in, and the Bible said that even the land was vomiting them out. Yeah. So God says here that the authorities that make these unjust judgments are going to be cursed. And those that rebuke the evil are going to be blessed. You see that? He saith to the wicked, thou art righteous. Him shall the people curse, nation shall be abhorred. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight. That delight is talking about you're going to get a blessing. For saying that's wrong. That's not right. Amen. Boy, and there's so much run through my mind. God's saying here in this thing that even society of men, if they're thinking logically, they know that evil is not good. Amen. They got to know that. This crowd, when the BLM was burning the cities, and they was talking about this summer of love. You remember that? One of the mayors made that comment that we're having a summer of love when they were capturing, I think they're capturing Seattle, and they were burning the cities, and they're talking about, you know, they got reporters out there they're burning the city behind them. He said it's mostly peaceful. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on politically. You got to know better than that. You got to know that we can't let this stuff go forever. All right, San Francisco, San Francisco's been gone a long time. But now it's not just a sodomized. Now you've got the homeless in there and they can't do anything with them except give them another check. Yeah, they can't tell them that they need to get up and go to work. They can't tell them that they need mental health. They can't tell them that they need medical attention. They can't tell them any of that. They got to just let them have the city. You know what's happening? People are leaving in droves. People that can leave will leave. Yeah. People that can leave will leave. And when people, others stand up and say, we're not going to have that, then people appreciate that. And that's what he's talking about. They'll bless them. And he even talked about kiss the lips of them that give the right answer. And that's not talking about some kind of a, you know, it's saying men. I notice that every man shall kiss his lips that give the right answer. That's not talking about an impassionate kiss. But he's saying we're going to say, thank God for those words. Thank God for what his lips just said. Amen. By the way, America has had some patriots on both sides of the aisle. Whether they were Whigs or whether they were Democrat Republicans. By the way, that was one party at one time. They had patriots. Federalists or anti-federalists. We had patriots in America. I think we've had patriots in the Democrat and Republican Party. I wonder today if we got patriots in America now. I just wonder about that. God help us. God help us. So we're living in that day when the multitude saying that wicked's good. But he said if somebody will take a stand, they'll be thanked for it. Can I say this, and without getting political, one of the things people did like about Donald Trump, in spite of his vulgarity, in spite of his boastfulness, is that he said what he thought ought to be said. He took a stand that Americans said, at least he's calling them Muslim terrorists. You remember that? They wouldn't even say that's Muslim terrorists. You remember when, I appreciate George W. Bush said this, he quit calling them suicide bombers. He started calling them homicide bombers because they're killing others while they're killing themselves. Yeah. You don't, these people that go and shoot up schools, they usually wind up getting shot themselves. You don't call them some kind of a hero suicide school shooter. No. They're a terrorist is what they are. And they need to be called that. And Trump said that. Amen. Some men have said that. And we stand up and say, thank God, I'm glad they finally said it. Because it just makes sense. Amen. So here, every man ought to appreciate the wisdom that enables somebody to make a right judgment. Amen. We ought to thank God when he gives somebody wisdom. And I'm telling you what we better pray for. And listen to me close. We had better pray for God to give some wisdom to Joe Biden. Amen. We'd better pray for God to give some wisdom to Kamala Harris. They're still in there, and they may get back in there again. We better pray for God to give some wisdom to our own governor. Right. We better pray for God to give some wisdom to others that are running and others that might take the position. And we ought to start praying for those in authority. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I will that men pray everywhere. And his thing was they pray for those that are in authority. Instead of just railing on them, we need to start praying for them again. I say, oh me. Oh me. Well, Proverbs 29, verse number 2. Look at it with me, if you will. I'm almost done. This is conclusion. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So he tells us there's a difference in the way the countries run. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's where I alluded to a minute ago. And we'll look at these verses. 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. And I didn't write the reference down entirely, but I'll see if I can find it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yep, verse number 1. 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When the Puritans were, in a sense, empowered, when the Puritans were alive and well in England, the kingship kept changing, and they'd have a king that'd be Protestant, they'd have a queen that would be Catholic. They were going through that back and forth and fussing, and men that had positions were thrown out of their positions, and they were deprived of their livelihood, and they had their homes ransacked and all kinds of different things. But here's a phrase that they would say over and over and over again. This is the phrase they'd say: God save the king. I wonder when was the last time we prayed for God to save Joe Biden. Amen. Here's what he said. We need to have an attitude that we're praying for those that are in leadership. We need to pray for our sheriff. We need to pray for our police officers. Amen. We need to pray for those that are in authority, that God might help us live a quiet and peaceable life. Let's